Nehemiah 2 and verse number 11. So I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days, and I arose in the night, I and some few men with me, neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem, neither was there any beast with me, save the beast that I rode upon. And I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well, into the dung port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. Then I went on to the gate of the fountain and to the king's pool, but there was no place for the beast that was under me to pass. Then went I up in the night by the brook and viewed the wall and turned back and entered by the gate of the valley and so returned. And the rulers knew not whether I went or what I did, neither had I as yet told it to the Jews, nor to the priests, nor to the nobles, nor to the rulers, nor to the rest that did the work. Then said I unto them, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's word that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. But when Sanballat, the Horonite, and Tobiah, the servant, and the Ammonite, and Geshem, the Arabian, heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, what is this thing that ye do? Will ye rebel against the king? Then answered I them and said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore we, his servants, will arise and build, but ye have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem. Heavenly Father, thank you for this portion of Scripture, Lord. And I pray, dear God, that you would challenge our hearts, Lord, through this book. Thank you for the testimony. Thank you for the story that you've preserved, dear God, for this time. Lord, thank you for these divine words. What encouragement we can get from the book of Nehemiah. Bless us in a special way, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Chapter 2, Nehemiah says, let us rise up and build. Let me have you go over to chapter number 6 of Nehemiah, chapter number 6, and verse number 15. Boy, this seemed to happen quick. Here chapter 2 is. Now we're just into chapter 6, verse 15. So the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month of Elul in 52 days. Now that to me is amazing. 52 days. And it came to pass that when all our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was wrought of our God. Well, that's exciting, isn't it? And so I want to talk to you a little bit about these principles in Nehemiah. Like I said, we're preparing to, I think, enter into a very daring endeavor. And I think the church in many ways is going to be challenged and in ways that we haven't for several years. But I have drawn great encouragement for what I've seen God do in the past. And, you know, for those of you men that were here, and you remember walking onto this property when it was just basically a pasture, just grown up, and nothing was here. And yet you have the memories for those of you that were here. As a young boy, thank God, I have the memories of walking onto this property and walking around with Dad and men meeting together and praying in a spot. And you know what? We needed, God needed a man like my father who for this ministry was that Nehemiah that came and saw what nobody else could see and challenged people to do what maybe they didn't think they could do. And you know what? Thank God for a group of people that said, let us rise up and build. And so we've been able to see that. The original building, for those of you who may not know, the original building, the back wall behind, well, no, if you go into the foyer area and you see where the ceiling is lower there, I'm going to get this right. Hold on, just give me a second here. Actually, the back wall right behind where the information desk is used to be the back of the church. And actually, wow, you can't see it, but behind there's a cross. And that stained glass window used to be the back end of the church, and the sun would shine through. And so that's as long as the original church building was. And it wasn't but a couple years later, we added on to the back of it. And again, we had a room situation, needed space, and let us rise up and build. And this is what we need. And then, of course, the adding of the building back there. I always was excited about the fact that I went to 2 years of the Christian school. And at break time, we had absolutely nowhere to go. And then the year after I graduated, they finally decided to build this gymnasium, this little activity building. And so I got to come home and at least visit it, but I never got to really use it. But again, there was a need. And then the building off the front here, of course, the parsonage that was brought in and all of the things. And so this ministry is not unfamiliar with the idea of being challenged with a task and something new and exciting, something needful. I think just into my, I think about my third year of pastoring here, and we really assessed our entire situation when it comes to buildings. And for about 3 years, we couldn't even push the bus ministry. We honestly didn't have a spot. The school had taken up a good portion of the downstairs, and we were trying to reuse what we could. But, you know, the building had basically reached a saturation point, and we knew that we were going to need a building. And so, again, about 3 years into pastoring the church, here I come up to the church and say, you know what, we need to do, and talk to the men about it and say, we got to build a fellowship hall. You know what? I believe every house ought to have a living room, a family room where people can gather and join in, a dining room where they can sit around the table. And you know what? Whether you not understand it or not, that fellowship hall is very important to contribute to the family atmosphere and the idea of being a family here at Blessed Oak Baptist Church. And of course, we were able then to move the school out there also, reclaim the entire downstairs and remodel it so that we could maximize the Sunday school space. And again, you know, I saw something miraculous happen. In a course of over 2 years, I like telling this story to people that will listen. In the course of 2 years, a group of people prayed and sacrificed. And over a two-year stretch, and I'm not talking about millionaires. If there's a millionaire in this church besides Nathan Walton, I don't know who it would be. But, I mean, most of us are just pull folk. But then there's the man that owns the Turkey Empire over there. And, you know. But most of us that contributed to that were just blue-collar workers. I tell people, you shake hands at Blessed Oak Baptist Church, you shake a calloused hand, and people just hard work and just sacrifice. You know, I still look back at that stretch of time, and the church raised about $260,000 in about a two-year period, extra and above our tithes and offerings and regular giving. Now, to me, that's a miraculous thing for a church our size. By the way, I've told this to folks, that building's 100 square feet. If you take $100 a square feet, which is the average building cost, that's $1 million, just about $1 million building. And the Lord allowed us to build that because people were willing to come and work and labor, and a series of miraculous things. You know, it would be $1 million building, and you always figure about half of it's labor and about half materials when you're figuring a building. That's pretty close usually. And we were able to, the material cost, and even those few parts that we hired out, $260,000 was invested to build $1 million building. And a lot of that was because of God's good hand upon it. And some of the deals we got and some of the things that were donated or we were able to buy for pennies on the dollar, and just miraculously God would lead us to thing. And you know, that was such a faith-building experience for those of us that sacrificed together and really gave to that, showed up and labored and worked on it. That was a huge faith-building process for Blessed Oak Baptist Church. You know what? When we started that building project, this church was debt-free. When we finished that building project, this church was debt-free. And you know what? It's been a blessing of God. But you know what? It doesn't just take a Nehemiah. Nehemiah could have done the trip around the wall, went and talked to the people. And you know what? If they hadn't said, let us rise up and build, the walls would never have been built. It takes a Nehemiah, but it also takes God's people to catch a vision and say, you know what, yes, let's do this, let's sacrifice, let's pay the price. I'm amazed at this story. I'm amazed at the conclusion of these six chapters that this wall was rebuilt in 52 days. I did some research on this, and most of the people that I've checked into, most of the scholars that have been there and know these type of things, say that they believe that the wall of Jerusalem was rebuilt by Nehemiah was 4.5 miles long. 52 days, folks. They didn't have bulldozers. They didn't have backhoes. You think about this. You know, I don't know how many of you know exactly where we live, but if you went out here and came down to the lights here, and then you headed north from the lights, you got to Bogle Corner. That's a mile. Okay, then you go up to where the slab road turns and goes towards Colmont. That's another mile. Only don't go turn on that road. Keep going straight. Get to the next crossroad. That's another mile. You go to the next crossroad where there's a little bend in it, and there's a little metal bridge there. If you take a left on that road, why am I letting you people know where I live? I'm out of my mind. What am I doing here? If you take a left on that road, then don't ever do that. There's drug dealers and gangsters and all kinds of wicked people that live over there. It's a bad part of Lower Clay County over there. But I mean, you really think about it. Man, gentlemen, think about this. That's a mile to Bogle Corner. Another mile to where the slab road turns. You can probably, in your mind, where you live, kind of map out a direction where you got four crossroads and 4 miles. And you know what? Every foot of that had to be built by hand. And it was done in 52 days. What a testimony to what can be done for God when people catch a vision, when God's good hand is upon something, when people unite. And by the way, that wasn't 52 problem-free days. I want to just give you a quick overview of this process. Preacher, what happened from chapter 1 to chapter 6 in these 52 days? These weren't problem-free. Of course, chapter 1, Nehemiah, we didn't go that far back, but God is just preparing in chapter 1 the heart of the man that God would use to do this great work. And I want to say this, I've watched the Lord prepare Brother Reiser for what we're about to do for years now. And I don't think anybody's prepared in a month or days or even a few years. I think that God's preparation time is measured sometimes in a section of your lifetime. And I've watched him do that. I watched him get a burden about it. You see Nehemiah and his concern and the burden that came upon him. And then the prayer, going to prayer over this thing. And then in chapter 2, you see God's miraculous provision. And it really is amazing that God used a heathen king to prepare the process and provide the materials for this to happen. Now, let me just say this. Most of the time, that's not the way it is in the Bible. If you go study the history of Israel, every single significant thing that Israel built, they built through the sacrifice of God's people. But you have to remember, at this time, Israel was in captivity. And the people that were in Jerusalem, you know what? They could provide labor, but they were desolate, the Bible said, in despair. And yet God decided to turn the heart of a heathen king to provide the resources that and the permission that Nehemiah needed to build this wall. So it was an exciting thing. You see Nehemiah get there in chapter 2, and we read a little bit about that as he went out and assessed the situation and began to, try to get a visual grip of what he was facing and what it would take to do it. And there was some consideration here and planning, and there was a quiet time in his heart where he really didn't talk to many people, didn't talk to anybody about it. He just contemplated it, wanted to get it clear in his mind what to do and how to do it. And then, of course, the last part that we read of chapter 2, where we see him challenge the people and tell about the good hand of God upon him. And you see this exciting phrase. I love this. Let us rise up and build. And boy, I'll tell you what, if God's people all get on the same page, going in the same direction, and it's of God what they're doing, you know what? It's almost limitless. I promise you the miraculous is going to happen at that point. And then 52 days later, the building of the wall. In chapter number 3, we see that Nehemiah came with a very organized plan. I mean, you know what? He had it thought out. He knew exactly who he wanted to assign to what part. He had it broken down into parts and jobs and who was going to be where and whose responsibility it was. And you know what? For the most part, everybody just stepped in and said, I'll take a section of the wall. And it wasn't a matter of any one, two, or three people trying to build 4.5 miles of wall. It was an entire group of people that came together and said, just give me a part. And I'll work well with the person on my right, and I'll work well with the person on my left. And you know what? We'll get this thing done. We'll get it together. And so that's miraculous. Now, that would be miraculous 52 days if there were no problems in the process. But then we get to chapter 3 and 4, and we see that opposition begins to arise. And wasn't it R.G. Lee says that when Satan calls his Ahabs to arise, God always calls his Elijahs to arise? Well, let me say that the opposite's true also. When God calls a Nehemiah, the devil's always going to send troublemakers and somebody that will do everything they can to scorn the work and despise the work and fight against the work. The devil's always got his crew out there too. But we see in chapter number 4 and chapter number 5 different types of opposition. If you have a Scofield Bible, I think he's done a good job on the notes, the subtitles here: opposition by ridicule, Nehemiah answers by prayer, opposition by anger, the resource of prayer. Well, you're going to see prayer plays a big part in this. Opposition by discouraged brethren, the resource of faith. Chapter 5, opposition by greed and heartlessness. And you know what? There were some problems within. Wasn't always the only just outside problems. God used this process to bring to light some sin problems even within the children of Israel. And you know what? They got tested and challenged. You know, it's one thing to say, boy, I'll tell you what, I'd give it all to the Lord. Okay, this is what we're doing. Now, wait a minute. You know, and all of a sudden people had to face some things. And there was some practices that were going on between Israelites. Honestly, if you read chapter 5, there were some Israelites that were taking advantage of other Israelites and actually taking a bad situation and working it to their own advantage. And boy, when Nehemiah found out about it, he rebuked them and chastised them and made them publicly renounce what they were doing and got the thing fixed and straightened out. And then the wall was able to go forward again. Nehemiah provided an example, chapter 5. You see that heading there, Nehemiah's example of unselfishness. And he didn't ask the people to do what he wasn't willing to do himself. And then we get into chapter number 6, opposition by craft. And boy, I like this chapter because, folks, listen, you're not going to build without battling. It just comes with it. There's no way in the world that you're going to do anything for the Lord where the devil's not going to start a fight, and you're going to have, listen, folks, let me just say this. You know, you can't see it, and I don't expect you to, and I'm not the only one in here. We got lay people that have done it too. But you know what? I'm battle-hardened. I just am. Okay, I didn't just graduate from boot camp. I'm battle-hardened. Battles don't surprise me. Battles don't scare me. Opposition doesn't. As a matter of fact, I'm not surprised when opposition comes. I'm surprised when there's been a space of time where there was no opposition. I've learned a long time ago, if I'm going to build, I got to be willing to battle. And now some of you spiritual pacifists, you need to get that fixed in your heart. You know, what you want to do is do work for God and then have the whole world like you. And you know what? It's not going to happen that way. There's going to be a lost world that rises up, but sadly, most of the opposition that I've had to face in the ministry has not been from a lost world. It's been from carnal Christians or pretenders that claim to be Christians that want to undermine the work of God. I'm just telling you the honest truth. Talk to anybody that's been in very long, they'll tell you the same thing. You know what? Building a work for God separates the men from the boys. Anybody can talk spirituality, but when it really starts costing you something, you start figuring out who's really there and who's not. And it's just what Nehemiah had to face there. And you know what? I like where he says in this chapter, says, shall such as a man as I hide, so shall such a man as I flee. I like that. You know what? Nehemiah was just cut out of a certain fabric. And he just said, you know what? I knew this wasn't going to be easy when God called me to do it. But you know what? Whatever it takes, whatever battle has to be fought, I have to face, whatever we have to overcome, listen, we're not going to get sidetracked. We're going to stay on point. We're going to build the wall, and we're going to get it done because this is the will of God. And he stayed on track. And then we get into that wonderful verse 15. So the wall was finished the 25th day of the month of Elul in 52 days. And again, that to me is just a miracle. But look at this, folks. By the way, it says here, and it came to pass that when all our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes, for they perceived that the work was wrought of our God. When you see the work of God prosper, you know what? People that are truly saved rejoice in that. People that are not saved, it bothers them, it bugs them. You know, and I say this from time to time, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, you can only evaluate yourself. But if good things are happening here, are you excited about it? Or does it bug you? Does it bother you? If there's problems in the church, are you excited about that? Or does that bother you? Because you know what? That should tell you something about yourself. And you know what? God's people are excited when God's work is going forward in a positive and productive manner. They always are. And others, you know, are cast down about it. And so that's basically the overview of it. That's what happened here. And we're going to begin, like I said, in our meeting after the service here tonight, we're going to begin to lay out a plan that I'm very much excited about. I've seen much of the same process that is happening here happen in the lives of the Reiser family, in the preparation process of this ministry and where we're at. And folks, let me just say this. I've gone down, as Nehemiah has, and I've looked at Princeton and Vincennes. I've made a good night. I know I've made a dozen trips down there in the last year and a half. And I mean in-depth trips, and I mean praying trips, and I mean seeking God's will and God's direction in this. And I'm going to tell you something. I believe this with all my heart. I don't think there is a place you can point to on the map in Indiana. And I'm an Indiana boy, okay? I just am. I'm a Hoosier. I love Indiana. I love America, but I love Indiana. I've got a burden for our Judea here. I don't know if there is a better, more prime ready place for a church plant and a more needed place in all of the state of Indiana than right down there between Vincennes and Princeton in that area. And it's just ripe. We're really almost shocked that somebody else hasn't done it. And I told Brother Roger, I said, I think God just saved it for us. He knew we were the ones that were supposed to do it. And I'm not saying that you may not find one or two good churches in that general area. And I know some one man in particular. He's a good man down there, and in Vincennes, and I think trying, and I think standing right, and I think preaching the gospel. But there's just not a ministry that's making the impact on that community. And good night. I think that brother would tell you, you know what? One church isn't going to reach an area the size of Vincennes and Princeton. I mean, we could use multiple churches in that area. So, but I am excited about what God's directing us to do and wanting us to do. And as this process begins, it might not be a bad idea. I got to thinking there's a couple of reasons Nehemiah's on my heart. First of all, when we came to, I kind of redone our daily broadcast. And again, it was just more of a decision about the management of my time than anything. But I used to sit there in the office and literally tape a live broadcast, not a live broadcast, but I would do it myself. Now I'm going back and taking some of the Bible studies, Wednesday night Bible studies we've done, and just breaking them up in 10-minute segments. But because I've been in the process of doing that, I did the Book of James, and that was our daily broadcast for a good night, I don't know, 3 or 4 months, and then we've switched over to Nehemiah, and I'm in the middle of that. But I've gone back through just listening, because I'm cutting it up in pieces, and just listening to that, and I'm thinking to myself, I know God did that in my heart. We started that about, I don't know, 2 or 3 months ago. God's done it in my heart just to help prepare me. And I know, you know, I'm listening to myself, which is not the most exciting thing for me to do. But the principles of Nehemiah are just energize me. And, you know, what I just covered in just a few minutes here, you know, I've taught in depth. And, I mean, we spent 2 or 3 weeks in chapter 1 and on through and really pulled out the meat of it. And I think God's used that to prepare my heart. And also, any time that a church is challenged to do something that would stretch them and be beyond require faith, and I, you know what? Nehemiah is a good place to go to. And so I wanted to just share what I've shared with you tonight and encourage your heart. And I'm going to ask that we, in just a minute, as we gather together and have this meeting, I'm going to give you the information. I'm going to ask you to begin to make it a matter of prayer. We're going to give you some specific things. One of the ladies of our church, on the way out the other night, stopped my wife, and I appreciate this heart. You just don't know what a blessing it is to hear these type of things. But my wife said, and she told me the lady's name, and she said, hey, when are we going to get more information about this church plant? I want to know how I can begin to pray, and I want to know how we can begin to sacrifice. And I love that attitude. I love that spirit. And we're getting ready to leave for a week. We're going to go out to a pastor's conference and hopefully get our fuel tanks filled up a little bit. And necessary from time to time that we do that, and so we're going to do that and come back, and I didn't want to wait a long time. I wanted to talk to you Sunday night about it, have a men's meeting, all of that. Now Wednesday, I'm leaving Friday, so I want to give you the information, and I'd ask you, please, just make it a matter of prayer. It's going to take some real faith steps for us to do this, but you know what? I believe if there's a ministry in Southern Indiana that has the heart and the experience to step out by faith and do something unusual for the Lord, I think it's Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And so let's pray together. Let's stand. We'll have a short time of invitation, maybe a time to dedicate ourselves together to this task. And then we'll have a dismissal prayer. And then for those of you that can stay, we want you to stay. If you're a member, certainly we want you to stay. And we'll present this to you. Heavenly Father, Lord, we've laid some just scriptural background to, I think, prepare our hearts for, Lord, the information we're going to be given. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help us, dear Lord, to have that same attitude that the group here did. Lord, these were folks that weren't wealthy and they weren't well-to-do and they weren't without problems. And Lord, they were desolate, the Bible says, and in despair. And so, Lord, it's not like you have to go to people that's on top side to get the job done. Sometimes people that are facing some of the greatest difficulties in life. Lord, you challenge them in the midst of difficulties to rise up and build, in the midst of want to rise up and build. And so, Lord, I pray, dear God, that we would not look at the task at hand of what you've challenged us to do, Lord, and what the pastor, what I'm going to challenge our church to do. I pray that we wouldn't look at it as if, well, can we do it? Because, Lord, everything that we ever come to when it comes to that, we have to bow our head. And Lord, there's only despair in that question. But Lord, help us to ask the question, can God do it through us? And Lord, that we would have the heart of the people here in Jerusalem during the days of Nehemiah. We pray these things in Jesus' name.